Hello, everyone. Wait, we haven't started the show yet. What's going on?
Oh, we've kind of started the show, haven't we, Matt?
I guess technically we're talking.
Right. And there's our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccan. So I guess we are doing a show. We are also, as you hear this, we are scattered to the wind, folks, fellow conspiracy realists. We have lit out for the territories, as Samuel Clemens would say. We have rewarded ourselves for surviving one more swing around the sun, or getting very close to it, hopefully, mm-hmm. right? And the way we've rewarded ourselves is to take some time off to go, I think in most of our cases, people are going to go be with their families, and some of us are going to have some off-the-grid adventures.
Oh, yeah, off-the-grid in totality, if possible, at least in my case. You know, it is so interesting, though, that we reward ourselves at the end of the calendar year mm-hmm. rather than at the time when all of the snow has gone away and it's not as cold anymore, because it feels like historically humanity should be celebrating mostly that we got through the winter.
Right.
Not smack dab at the beginning of the winter.
That's true. That's true. Our species has become somewhat presumptuous. And we could also argue further that the only real new year any individual should be celebrating is their own day of birth.
There you go. Know,
calendars aside, that's the thing that counts, right? What we wanted to do is present to you today a very special episode on the mysterious origins of Christmas, the stuff they don't want you to know, the explanation behind why we cut down trees and bring them into our houses.
What is that Yule log for anyway?
Yeah, Yule log. That's perfect. I don't know if we get to it, but it is pretty strange that so much of this modern day Christmas is based on an overweight man in a garish costume breaking into your house.
Yeah, defying gravity and all other physics in every way, basically, to bring you that Xbox.
Right. And I think many people would note that today, here in the States at least in 2018, Christmas is an economic necessity for a lot of businesses. It's a secular holiday. You know, people who don't necessarily ascribe to the beliefs upon which Christmas is ostensibly founded still love the idea of getting stuff, singing songs, special foods, jingle bells. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the reason why we are bringing all this up is because today, rather than just make a new episode, we are going to leave and go into a bunker somewhere and hide, as Ben said earlier. And we are going to play this discussion that we had back in 2013, I believe.
Oh, wow. Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Very, very early on in the beginning of our audio podcast version of this show, because it was a companion piece to a video we made that you can find on YouTube right now called The Surprising Origins of Christmas, classic. But you can find that right now, and it really is just, I guess in one word, it's about the winter solstice.
So play this for your friends and family over your time together. If you have someone that you think should learn a little bit more about how we got from the origins of the human celebrations that traditionally have been had this time of year to the modern day celebration of the thing we call Christmas. We hope you enjoy. Please be kind, because again, this was a long, long time ago.
You may notice Noel's voice if you can hear it, because he was our super producer at the time. Paul Deccan was merely a glimmer in Ben's eye at that time.
That's so
he's your
weird.
Son. You didn't know he was your son?
This is a heck of a way for us to find out. I demand a DNA test. No offense, Paul.
But please enjoy.
From UFOs to ghosts and government cover-ups, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben.
And I'm Matt.
And that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Matt, as we record this, we're heading into one of the most popular holidays in the United States, for sure.
Yeah, and throughout the world, there are a lot of places where this is a huge holiday.
Mm-hmm. Noel, could we have a little bit of theme music to let people know which holiday we're talking about?
Wow, that was a great choice, Noel.
Yeah, that was a good choice. Noel, you are a superb producer, and I'm sure everybody could guess that that means this is an episode about Christmas.
I wonder how that's going to work with our creepy music that, you know, we're coming out of our creepy music that a lot of people tell us is weird and too dark into that joyful thing that Noel just put in there.
Well, also, let's just be honest, Matt. A lot of Christmas music is creepy.
Yeah. Ooh. I'm gonna make a video where we just put some music in there that's supposed to be joyful and happy and just edit it with some really creepy imagery and see what happens.
Why not? Chop and screw it. And remix it, which is an interesting segue into the story of Christmas. Now, a long time ago, you and I did an episode on the secret origins of Christmas, right?
That's correct. So if you haven't yet, you should head on over to TestTube or our YouTube channel and check out that episode because there's lots of fun information on the origins of this holiday.
Now, most of our listeners are probably familiar with the part of the story of Christmas, right? And how it became what it is today, which is historically not the accurate birth date of Jesus Christ. It's the day when everybody gets together to celebrate.
Yeah, we've just kind of decided that this is the day we'll use. And there's a reason that it was chosen, right?
Lay it on me.
Well, yeah, it goes back, the December 25th date goes back to the pagan tradition of the solstice. It was kind of a holy day, and there were a lot of celebrations that occurred right around that time, and specifically on that day. And then I guess the church decided, well, we're going to kind of be a competing market, or we're going to compete inside this market, and we're going to make our day bigger.
Oh, and Matt, we need to put in a disclaimer here. This is something we talked about when we first did our Christmas episode. If you are a Christian, if you believe in, you know, Jesus Christ and you celebrate Christmas, none of the stuff that we're saying is necessarily disrespectful. It's certainly not meant to be.
Oh, no, no, not at all.
We're just talking about the historical evolution of Christmas. We're not talking about any of the spiritual side of it. But it is true that the reason the celebration occurs on December 24th, 26-ish, you know, the reason it's in that area of time is because there was an earlier pre-existing holy day from a different faith, as you said, and the Catholic Church wanted to absorb that as well. What that process is called is religious syncretism, and
we'll pause for just a moment to hear a word from our sponsor. And we're back.
Religious syncretism is not unique to the Catholic Church and the date of Christmas, right?
No, not at all. You kind of have to, if you really want to look at it historically, you have to pull yourself out a little bit from the belief just to look at things historically. And religion, like a lot of, like really anything else, it's part of a competing belief system, right? And like anything from what you believe about economics or what you believe about science or, you know, history and religion. I'm just rambling.
Or music. That's something that people argue about all of the time with absolutely. Yeah,
the
I'm
origins
gonna say
of
it.
Certain music.
Oh, I'm going to say it. Musicologist. Are irritating. You know, it's
just said it.
It's an opinion. It's not, that doesn't make it a fact. The only fact is that it is your opinion, whether or not that band is good, buddy, lay off. And when we talk about this sort of stuff, the point you're making about a competing belief system is interesting because in the evolution of religions and cultures, when they encounter each other, especially in previous centuries, one thing that we see is that the competing aspect of it is secondary to this sort of melding and blending. So, for instance, when the Catholic Church goes to South America, then they and the Caribbean, then they recognize, right? Mm-hmm, finger quotes, mm-hmm. recognize this God or this God is actually, oh, this is this saint. And, oh, don't worry, you have been worshiping this saint. And so you've been kind of
you just called it a different thing.
Yeah, you just called it a different thing, and a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. That's the gist of it. And religious syncretism isn't necessarily bad. It is tempting, of course, to think that this is some sort of degradation of a religion, right?
It's tough. You kind of have to decide to not look at it that way. Mm-hmm. If you really believe, you just have to. I think you really need to have both of those thoughts going at the same time if you are a believer. Mm-hmm. You just have to understand that this is just the way history works. This is the way religious organizations do things sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And that's a great point. Now, before we get too far sidetracked into religious syncretism, which, you know, I find fascinating due to my travels and my sketchy past, where I participated in some of this stuff firsthand. One other thing that was
hold on, we're going to have to go into more of that.
Okay.
I'll save it
for the end.
Okay, all right.
All right. So one thing we should go into when we're talking about Christmas is that Christmas in the United States has some traditions that are very strange and not necessarily related to the birth of a god, you know?
Okay, okay.
Like the Yule log.
Yes, that was another tradition, right? That having a very large log that would burn for a good amount of time. That would keep you overnight basically warm.
Also, the Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah.
What?
It is a weird idea of chopping down a tree to put into your house to then decorate and celebrate around. It doesn't seem to have much, at least symbolism, from a Catholic or from a Christian standpoint. Mm. Again, it goes back to the syncretism. Yeah. I feel like we're just making a podcast on religious syncretism.
Well, we also want people to check out the video if you haven't had a chance to do it yet. And we can, speaking of Christmas, we can go ahead and wrap this up like a present, huh?
Oh, I'm terrible at that, by the way.
I'm disappointed in my own joke. I'm sorry, everybody. But as we wrap this up and go off to prepare for our own holiday stuff, I will leave us with a story about one of my experiences.
Oh, man, I can't wait to hear this. And let's take a quick break right now to hear a word from our sponsor. And we're back.
All right. So, a while ago, several years and years ago, I lived in Guatemala, and you know this, Matt. Mm-hmm. And in Guatemala, I lived in a part of the country called Quetzaltenango, or Xela. And in Xela, the Maya culture was never fully extinguished, eradicated by the Spaniards. It was, can I say Spaniards on the air? Is that?
That's correct, right?
The Spanish conquistadores.
There you go.
Okay, so years ago, I lived in Guatemala, and I lived in a town called Quetzaltenango, or Xela. And in this town, which is in the highlands, in the mountainous areas, there is a large Maya population. And this population, thank goodness, was never fully eradicated by Spanish conquistadores. But they did have belief systems heavily affected. Most notably, there is a figure called San Simon or Mashimon. And Mashimon or San Simon is nowadays worshipped in some churches, sort of a patron saint of gamblers, adulterers, and thieves. And
sounds like an interesting fellow.
Yeah, yeah. And there, this character has this story, this saint, rather, has an amazing story of evolution because originally, The folklorists believe that Mashimon, or what became San Simon, was based on a mountain spirit named Ma'am. And if I'm pronouncing that correctly, my K'iche is pretty off now.
Okay.
And then became Mashimon. And then when the Spanish came and the priests came, they said, oh, we recognize this guy. The story goes that they wanted to dilute the popularity of this deity. So they said, yeah, you know, that is Saint Judas. That is an aspect
really?
Of Judas. Yeah. And, you know, Judas plays a horrible role in the Bible.
Yeah.
Most denominations think.
Bit nefarious.
Yeah. No spoilers. But check out the book. And
should read it. It's good.
Yeah. And he, the thing was, this did not alienate the Maya from their culture, from their history with this deity. Instead, this was just something that they folded into it.
Mm-hmm.
And now San Simon is what's considered a folk saint, meaning that he's not canonized by the Vatican or by the Holy See. However, he's still around. And when I was in Guatemala, I had a chance after a very strange experience. I ended up almost dying in a bus accident. And because you ride buses everywhere, and
wow,
yeah, and then immediately I headed off with some other people to go to this shrine where they take this deity out once a day or once a year, and because he hates the light,
really,
yeah, he's interesting, and you make offerings of cigars and booze. He likes booze, and interestingly enough, I'm pretty sure that when Josh and Chuck were in Guatemala. Josh and Chuck from Stuff You Should Know. I'm pretty sure that Josh visited San Simon as well.
Wow.
So, sorry, I know I'm talking your ear off.
No, it's great. I love it, man. I'm sitting here like a little kid listening to a Christmas story around
very
a,
strange
yeah, with
Christmas
my family.
Story. But we do have Secret Origins of Christmas. Matt, I have to ask you, what's the most surprising thing you learned about Christmas as we close out?
I would say the most surprising thing I learned about it was just the furthest back history of the holiday season from the chronology of 354. That was really interesting. We covered that in the original episode that we made.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, I was looking through that document earlier today, and it's just fascinating. It was basically a picture book that this guy had made for him, a wealthy man had made for him, and not much of it exists, or I don't think any of it is surviving now today. But that was that was the first place that it was mentioned, the idea of this holiday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really surprising. It was just, I guess it was just cool.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, I know we should have wrapped this up earlier, but there's more than one Saint Nick. There are multiple guys, and I think they based the Saint Nicholas is often attributed to a Greek saint. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are several others that then get wrapped up in this one guy that we call Saint Nicholas now.
Mm.
And there are all these different stories about, you know, we talk about it, of throwing the coins into a needy family's home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the stockings came from because he allegedly put them in a stocking. There was a great picture I found. It was a painting of one of the Saint Nicks saving I think he was a prisoner of some sort, and he was going to be executed, and he was staying the blade. It's a painting of, I guess, a time when this one of the saints saved a guy from being executed. It's an awesome painting.
On some straight up Gandalf, thou shalt not pass.
Oh, totally, man. He's just like, no, not today.
So it's weird because we are often grow up, at least in the States, associating the idea of this jolly, obese man with a snow-white beard who goes into your house at night, but it's okay because he leaves things for you. And it's astounding that Coca-Cola is so inextricably intertwined with the story of the modern Santa Claus, because I know some people write to us about that. I think we explore some of that in our episode. Do we mention that?
A little bit.
Well, maybe we'll do another one. Where does Santa come from?
That's
a
great.
Pretty good one. So while we're off to work on that, let us know what you think. Check out our shows. Drop us a line on Facebook and Twitter. We're Conspiracy Stuff at both of those places.
Please do. Tell your friends about this show. When you're sitting around, like right now, if you're listening to this alone in your room after you've been hanging out with family all day, you should go downstairs. Maybe, get your dad or your mom or your sister or your brother. Get somebody and be like, hey, you should check this out. This is a crazy show that I really like.
You can
show them our video.
Yeah, show them the video.
Share it on Facebook. It'll be awesome.
And tell us what they think, even if they don't like it. But Matt, what kind of emails do you want to receive this time around?
Well, I do want to know. I want to know the most heartfelt or the most thoughtful gift that you got for somebody this year. I want to know about that. I want to know why you got what it was and why you got it for that person.
Does it need to be a Christmas gift or can it be?
No, just a kind thing you did for somebody.
Okay, at some point in the year.
So what I'm saying is do something kind for somebody, just randomly or for somebody you know really well, or just for somebody at the grocery store. Just do something cool.
And let us know the story. We may just read it on air. You can write to us directly. Our email address is
conspiracy@howstuffworks.com.